Okay, so making new friends as an adult is tough, right?
Right.
Like it can feel impossible sometimes.
Yeah.
And even connecting with people you already know,
Yeah.
it's a challenge these days with everyone so busy.
Totally.
So we got some excerpts from this book, you know,
Yeah.
The 2-Hour Cocktail Party.
Okay.
And it got me thinking, could this be like the secret weapon for building those relationships we all, you know, crave?
Right.
Full disclosure, I might have said networking events and soul sucking in the same sentence before.
Oh, yeah.
So, can this book change my mind? I don't know.
Well, hopefully I can help us figure that out.
Yeah, you're like the master of bringing people together,
Well,
so.
like genuine connection is like a plant.
Okay.
You need the right environment to help it thrive.
I like that. Yeah.
So let's find out if this book, helps us find the right soil.
I love it. Okay, so the book's big idea is actually pretty simple.
Okay.
Forget those stuffy networking events and become the host. Oh.
Right. You might think, wait a minute, host a party.
Right.
Isn't that more work?
Yeah.
But here's where it gets really interesting.
Okay.
The psychology of hosting,
Okay, so.
right? You're not walking into a room
Right.
full of strangers,
Yeah.
feeling all that pressure to network.
Yeah.
You're creating the experience.
Right.
You're in control,
Yeah, it's your space.
right? And that shift in mindset alone
Yeah.
can make you feel so much more confident and at ease.
Yeah, I think that's so true.
I can't tell you how many times I've been at an event,
Oh, yeah.
like heart racing,
Totally.
trying to remember someone's name
Oh, my gosh.
and
Yeah.
just feeling so awkward.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
We've all fumbled with introductions
Oh, yeah.
and, you know, felt that panic when you realize you've forgotten someone's name.
It's the worst. Well, the book has a surprisingly simple solution for that. Name tags.
Interesting.
I know it sounds a
Yeah.
little
Yeah.
corporate-y
Yeah.
for a casual get together.
But the book makes a strong case for them.
Okay.
What do you think?
Well, there's some real science behind it.
Okay.
Name tags can actually reduce that social anxiety.
Interesting.
We all feel they signal that this is a space
No.
where connections are encouraged.
I like that.
And plus, they put everyone on an equal playing field.
Yeah.
Everyone's on the same page, literally,
Right.
with no one feeling left out.
I'm starting to see how hosting could actually be less stressful
Yeah.
than attending.
Yeah.
But here's a twist I didn't see coming.
Okay.
The book actually recommends hosting these cocktail parties on weeknights,
Interesting.
Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Anyone else find that a little counterintuitive?
It's brilliant when you think about it.
Okay.
Weekends and holidays are what the author calls heavyweight days. They're already packed with commitments,
Right.
family time,
Yeah.
or just the need to recharge after a busy week.
That is so true.
Yeah.
You know, that reminds me of my friend Steve, who threw this massive New Year's Eve party
Oh
a few years
no.
back. What a disaster. The
Oh
pressure to make it epic,
no.
people
Yeah.
flaking last minute.
Oh.
I think he aged about 10 years in one night.
I
Yeah.
bet. Weeknights, though, they're
Yeah.
kind of like this hidden gem
Okay.
in the social calendar. People are more likely to be free
Right.
and they're craving connection after work.
Yeah.
Plus, you're less likely to be competing with other events.
That's a really good point.
It's a win-win.
Okay, so we know weeknights are the sweet spot, but I'm just picturing our listeners right now
Yeah.
panicking. Like, wait, my apartment isn't Pinterest worthy. I can't host a party.
Right.
Be honest, how many of you are mentally redecorating right now?
Oh, yeah. We've all been there, but
But the book reassures us
yeah.
that it's not about having this
Right.
fancy space.
It's not about that.
The author actually hosted 90 parties
Wow.
in a tiny studio apartment.
90 parties.
In a studio. That's amazing.
And there's another story about a host who fit 20 people
What?
in a 200 square foot space.
No, what?
The point is, it's not about square footage.
Oh, we
It's
can.
about the energy that you create.
Right.
People care way more about feeling welcome and
Yeah.
having good conversations
Right.
than they do about judging your furniture.
That is such a relief.
Yeah.
It reminds me of my friend Nia, who's a fitness instructor.
Okay.
And she was convinced her place wasn't cool enough to host.
Yeah.
So she tried having her first event at a restaurant.
Oh.
And it was kind of a bust.
Oh no, what happened?
Well, it ended up being super loud. She couldn't
Yeah.
really control the environment.
Right.
And then there was the whole awkwardness of like splitting the check between 12 people.
Yeah, hosting at home gives you so much more control over the experience.
Right.
You set the tone, the playlist, everything.
And you're letting people see the different side of you.
That's true.
Which can create this sense of intimacy and authenticity that you wouldn't get in a public space.
For sure. Absolutely. Yeah. It's like inviting people into your world.
Yeah.
Even if it's just a, you know, a cozy little corner of it.
I like that.
Okay.
So we've got the when and the where figured out.
But now the big question.
Yeah.
Who do we invite?
Right. Who are we inviting to this awesome weeknight party?
Well, the book emphasizes starting with what they call a core group.
Okay.
So 5 to 10 reliable friends or colleagues.
Got it.
Who will create that welcoming, positive energy.
It's a good foundation.
Right. That core group is like your foundation.
Right.
They guarantee a certain level of engagement and energy.
Yeah.
Which makes it easier to invite than those great guests.
Right. Those new acquaintances, friends of friends, people you want to connect with more deeply.
It makes sense. Like, if you know you've got your solid crew there, it takes the pressure off.
Right.
Right? This reminds me of Tyler.
Who moved to a new city and didn't know anyone.
Oh, wow.
He was starting from scratch.
Yeah.
No core group, nada.
So how do you pull off a cocktail party?
Well, he got creative.
Okay.
He found someone who already had a network in the city.
Oh, smart.
And asked if they'd co-host a party with him.
That's a great idea.
It was a win-win.
Yeah.
The co-host brought their core group.
Yeah.
Tyler was able to build his network from there.
I love that. That's a great example of how adaptable this approach can be.
Right.
You can tailor it to fit your own situation.
Exactly. Okay, so we've got our core group.
Okay.
Our great guests.
So are we talking about inviting, like, everyone we know?
Actually, the book suggests aiming for 15.
Okay.
Confirmed guests.
Got it.
For your first party.
15?
Wow.
That's a great starting point.
Yeah.
It's enough to create a lively atmosphere.
Right.
Not so many that it feels overwhelming.
Right. You don't want your first party to descend into chaos.
Especially if you're new to hosting. Exactly. Right. Plus, with a smaller group, it's easier to manage.
Totally.
Those inevitable no-shows.
Oh, speaking of no-shows.
Yeah.
The book has some great advice on how to handle them.
Oh, good.
Without taking it personally.
Yeah.
Because, let's be real, we've all been that person.
Oh, totally.
Who RSVP'd, and then had something come up last minute.
Life happens.
Life happens.
But how do we make sure we hit that sweet spot of 15 guests without over-inviting and ending up with 50 people crammed into our tiny studio apartment?
Well, the book recommends inviting 20 to 30 people total to account for those inevitable drop-offs.
That makes sense.
And remember, the core group is key here.
Yeah.
If you get those 5 to 10 people locked in early.
Right.
You're already well on your way to a successful party.
Good point. It's all about building that solid foundation. Okay, so we're inviting a mix of people.
Yes.
Aiming for 15 confirmed guests.
Aiming for 15.
But what about the types of people we invite? Right. What kinds of people should we be inviting?
Well, the book emphasizes something called occupational diversity.
Okay.
So basically inviting people from different fields and industries.
Right, interesting.
Which leads to... more interesting conversations.
Right.
Because everyone brings a unique perspective.
Totally.
Makes sense.
It's like creating a microcosm of the real world.
Yeah.
Right in your living room.
Right in your living room.
No more getting stuck in those echo chambers where everyone agrees with each other.
Totally.
And nothing new is learned.
The author actually quotes Joan Crawford, who talked about the magic of mixing corporation presidents with bearded painters. Professional jockeys and professors of physics.
I love that.
It's about creating that dynamic energy.
Right.
That comes from those unexpected encounters.
This is making me so excited.
Yeah.
To host my own party.
Me too.
But there's one thing I'm still a little hesitant about.
What's that?
Name tags. I admit the idea of wearing name tags at a home party.
Yeah.
Feels a little, I don't know, intense.
I understand the hesitation.
Yeah.
But trust me, the book makes a surprisingly compelling case for name tags.
Okay.
Even in casual settings like this.
All right. I'm listening.
Okay.
Tell me more.
So think about it this way. Name tags, they just eliminate that awkward moment.
Oh, yeah.
When you've forgotten someone's name.
It happens to the best of us.
It really does.
And it can just totally derail a conversation.
Totally.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes.
I once completely blanked on the name.
Oh, no.
Of a CEO I had met like multiple times before.
Oh, God.
mortified.
From the worst.
Name tags would have saved the day.
Totally. They make everyone feel more comfortable,
right.
more confident yeah. approaching each other.
Yeah.
It signals that this is a party
okay.
where meeting new people is encouraged.
I like that.
Yeah.
And it puts everyone on an equal playing field.
Exactly. Whether yeah. you're the CEO or like the new intern.
Yeah.
No one feels like they have to prove themselves or, you know, worry about social hierarchies.
That's like a level playing field
yeah.
for social interaction.
Yeah.
I'm into it.
So are we talking about like those flimsy paper ones?
Yeah.
They give out at conferences?
Yes. The kind that always fall off.
That always seem to fall.
At the worst possible moment.
Right.
Like right when you need them.
Well, actually, the book suggests using adhesive name badges.
Okay.
They're more secure.
Right.
They look a bit more professional.
Okay.
Don't worry, they won't damage your clothes.
Good. So what do we write on these name tags?
Keep it simple.
Okay.
First names only.
Got it.
Written in large, clear capital letters
okay.
with a black marker.
Okay.
The goal is to make it easy for people to read.
Right.
Even from a distance.
Makes sense.
No need to clutter it up
yeah,
with extra information.
Got it. So no need to channel my inner calligrapher.
No, no, no. Just clear and concise.
Perfect. Should we pre-write them?
Ooh, good question.
Before the party starts.
Actually, the book suggests writing them out as guests arrive.
Okay.
It feels more personal
right here.
And spontaneous that way.
I like that.
Plus, you avoid that awkward situation.
Oh, yeah.
Where someone sees a name tag for someone who didn't show up.
Yeah, you don't want that.
Right.
It's
all about setting that positive vibe.
So we're writing the name tags as guests walk in.
Yes.
Should we let the guests write their own names?
Ooh, that's interesting.
Give them some creative freedom.
I think the book actually advises against that.
Okay.
It's best to kind of take control
right.
and ensure that consistency and readability.
Yeah.
And plus, let's be honest,
yeah.
some people might get a little too creative.
Totally.
Or try to skip the name tag altogether.
Right, like hide it in their back pocket or something.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, we want to create a culture of participation.
Yes, designated name tag enforcers.
Exactly.
Got it. What happens if someone flat out refuses
okay.
to wear a name tag?
Be kind but firm.
Go ahead.
Remind them that it's for the benefit of everyone.
Including themselves.
Okay.
It's about creating that welcoming and inclusive environment where connections can thrive.
Mm-hmm. And hey, if they happen to lose their name tag.
Yeah.
No worries. Just whip out your trusty marker.
Exactly.
Make them a new one.
I'm starting to see how all these little details can really set the tone for the whole party.
Totally.
But let's talk about the elephant in the room.
Okay.
The two-hour time limit.
Right.
I mean, who ends a party at 9 p.m. on a weeknight?
Yeah, doesn't that seem a little abrupt?
It does.
I know, right?
Well, harsh.
But there's actually a really clever strategy behind it.
Okay.
Think about it. The two-hour time frame
yeah.
creates a sense of urgency.
Okay.
People are more likely to arrive on time
right.
knowing that the party has a clear start and end.
No more fashionably late arrivals.
Exactly. It also makes it easier
okay.
for people to say yes to your invitation.
Right.
Even on a busy weeknight.
Yeah.
They know they can commit to a two-hour event.
Okay.
Without it derailing their whole evening.
It's almost like a guilt-free indulgence.
Exactly.
Like I can connect with people, have a good time.
Yeah.
But still be home.
Right.
At a reasonable hour.
Plus, that limited time frame.
Okay.
Helps you manage the energy and flow of the party.
Right.
It keeps things moving.
Yeah.
And it prevents things from dragging on.
Okay.
People leave feeling energized.
All right.
And connected.
Yeah. Not exhausted.
Rather than exhausted and overstimulated.
Yeah. So it's all about creating this
yeah.
intentional experience,
yeah.
even within a casual setting.
Exactly.
Okay. This is all starting to make sense.
Okay, good.
But I'm getting a little nervous
yeah.
just thinking about actually hosting.
Yeah.
What if I freeze up?
Yeah.
What if there are awkward silences?
Sure.
What if people are just standing around awkwardly looking at their phones?
Those are all valid concerns.
Yeah.
But don't worry. The book has some really helpful advice
okay.
for navigating those tricky social moments.
And one of the key strategies they emphasize
yeah.
is the use of icebreakers.
Okay, I know what you're thinking. Ugh, icebreakers.
Right.
That's so cheesy.
Yeah.
I was totally picturing those awkward trust falls.
Oh, yeah.
And cheesy introductions from corporate retreats.
Right.
Not exactly my vibe.
I hear you. But the icebreakers in this book,
okay.
they're much more subtle and engaging. They're designed to spark conversation.
Right.
Create a sense of connection
mm.
without feeling forced or awkward.
Okay. I'm willing to give it a shot.
All right.
So what kind of icebreakers are we talking about?
One of the simplest and most effective ones
okay.
is having everyone go around the room
okay.
and share their name, what they do during the day.
Right.
And like one interesting or fun fact about themselves.
Okay, that doesn't sound too bad.
It's easy, right?
It's like a quick snapshot
yeah.
of each person's personality.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it gives people a starting point for conversation. Maybe they'll find out they have a shared interest.
Right.
Or something that sparks their curiosity.
Mm.
The book also suggests using slightly more advanced icebreakers.
Okay.
As the party goes on.
Okay.
Like asking people to share a favorite travel story.
Ooh, I like that.
Or a memorable moment from their childhood.
That's fun.
Right. It's a way to go a little deeper.
Yeah.
And encourage more personal sharing.
I like it. And it creates a sense of vulnerability and authenticity.
Right.
Which is really the foundation.
Probably.
For any meaningful connection.
It's not just about breaking the ice.
Right.
It's about fostering that sense of intimacy
yeah.
and shared experience.
In the book emphasizes keeping these icebreakers short and sweet.
Yes.
Just a few minutes each.
Exactly.
They don't want to bog down the party.
Right.
With long, drawn-out activities.
The goal is to spark conversation.
Right.
And then let it flow naturally from there.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay, so we've covered
yeah.
pre-party prep,
mm-hmm.
the when and the where, building our guest list,
uh-huh.
embracing name tags.
Yes.
Mastering the art of icebreakers.
We did it.
But what about the actual party itself?
Yeah.
What happens when people start showing up?
Okay, well, the book gives you a step-by-step guide
okay.
for those first crucial moments.
Right.
From greeting your guests
yeah.
to setting the tone for the evening.
Mm-hmm.
And it all starts with a warm welcome.
Okay, walk me through. I want to make sure I nail this first impression.
All right, so as each guest arrives,
mm-hmm.
make eye contact, give them a genuine smile,
okay.
and let them know how happy you are that they came.
Radiating that positive energy.
Yes.
From the moment they step through the door.
And of course, don't forget to slap a name tag on them right away.
Name tag, police reporting for duty.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Now, to avoid any awkward milling about,
yeah.
the book suggests having a designated area
sure.
for drinks and snacks.
Got it.
Clearly marked and easily accessible.
Okay.
This gives people a chance to grab a drink,
mm-hmm.
settle in, and start mingling.
It's all about creating that
yeah.
comfortable, casual vibe.
Exactly. No one wants to feel like they're at a stuffy corporate event.
Exactly.
Once you've got a good number of guests.
Yeah.
Gather everyone together for your first icebreaker.
All right, here we go. Time to break the ice.
Yes.
And see what connections spark.
Remember, keep it light and fun.
Mm-hmm.
The goal is to ease any tension.
Right.
And create that sense of shared experience.
And then once the ice is broken.
Yes.
We can let the conversations flow naturally.
Exactly. The book encourages hosts to circulate
okay.
throughout the party,
mm-hmm.
making introductions. Facilitating conversations, making sure everyone feels included.
It's like being the conductor of an orchestra.
Yes.
Guiding the music and making sure everyone gets a chance to shine.
That's a great analogy.
And as the party progresses,
yes.
you can sprinkle in
got it.
Those more advanced icebreakers.
Yes.
To deepen the conversations.
Exactly.
And encourage more personal sharing.
Get people connecting on a deeper level.
Okay. I'm feeling more confident already.
I'd love to hear that.
But what about those inevitable lulls in conversation?
Oh, yeah.
You know those moments when the energy dips?
Totally.
And people start checking their phones or yeah. looking for the nearest exit?
Those lulls are totally normal.
Okay, good.
And the book offers some helpful tips for navigating them.
Okay.
One strategy is to have a few backup conversation starters.
Ooh, like what?
In your back pocket.
Okay.
Simple things.
Okay.
Ask guests about their favorite books, movies, or hobbies.
Yeah.
Or maybe bring up a current event.
Okay.
That sparked your interest.
Right.
You never know where those conversations might lead.
It's like having a social toolbox.
Exactly.
Full of conversation sparking gadgets.
Yes.
I like it.
And don't be afraid to introduce guests to each other.
Yeah.
Even if they seem to have nothing in common on the surface.
Okay.
You never know what unexpected connections might form.
Sometimes the most interesting conversations
totally
come from the most unlikely pairings.
Right.
And if all else fails,
yes.
put on some music and encourage people to dance.
I love that.
Sometimes a little bit of movement
yeah.
and shared energy
totally
can break the tension.
For sure.
And create a more relaxed atmosphere.
Okay. So you're getting the hang of this.
I think so.
I think you are.
I have one more question.
Okay.
How do we gracefully wrap up the party?
Okay.
At the 2-hour mark?
Right.
Without feeling like we're kicking people out?
That's a great question. And the book actually
offers some really insightful advice
okay.
for ending the party on a high note.
Perfect. Let's hear it.
So about 15 minutes before the official end time,
okay.
you can start sending those gentle cues that things are wrapping up.
Okay.
You know, dim the lights a bit.
Right.
Turn down the music. Maybe start tidying up a few things.
So it's all about the nonverbal cues.
Exactly.
Like, hey, we're starting to wind down here. But no pressure to rush out the door.
Exactly. And as guests start to say their goodbyes,
yeah.
take a moment to genuinely thank each person for coming.
Right.
Let them know you enjoyed having them there.
It's that final touch of warmth and appreciation.
Yes.
Right?
Sealing the deal.
Yeah.
On those positive vibes.
And if you've got some guests who are lingering.
Yeah.
And seem reluctant to leave.
Right.
You can gently remind them.
Right.
Of the end time.
Exactly.
Something like, well, folks, it's getting late.
Yeah.
And I know we all have things to do tomorrow.
Perfect. You're acknowledging their desire to stay connected.
Right.
But also respecting
mm-hmm.
that agreed upon time frame.
This whole 2-hour cocktail party concept
yeah.
is really blowing my mind.
It is pretty cool.
It's so simple.
Mm-hmm.
Yet so strategic.
It really is. It's about creating a framework
okay.
that maximizes connection
yeah.
without overwhelming anyone.
Before we wrap up this deep dive,
okay.
I want to make sure our listeners know why they should care
right.
about this 2-hour cocktail party formula.
Yeah.
What's the big takeaway?
I think it boils down to this. We all crave
okay.
meaningful connections,
mm-hmm.
but sometimes we get stuck in routines
yeah.
that prevent us from actually building those relationships.
It's so true.
So this book gives us a practical and surprisingly effective way
right.
to break free from those routines
yeah.
and create opportunities for genuine connection.
Like a recipe for a richer social life.
Exactly.
Okay, I have one final thought-provoking question.
Okay, hit me.
For our listeners, the book focuses on creating yeah. occupational diversity on your guest list.
In your guest list.
But what other types of diversity
well, that's interesting.
Could enrich a cocktail party?
Hmm.
What unique blend of people and perspectives
yeah.
would make your gathering truly memorable?
That's a great question.
We'd love to hear your thoughts.
Yes.
Maybe you'll even feel inspired to host yeah. your own 2-hour cocktail party.
Yeah, I hope so.
And let us know how it goes.
I can't wait to hear about it.